Welcome to Lightning Within 5. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Staff Sergeant Stefan Alvarez.
In today's episode, we will be talking to Senior Airman Adriana Salas about all things airmen, so stick around. So the holidays just passed. I know you didn't really do anything big.
No, this year we took it easy, stayed home, didn't pack up the baby or anything and drive anywhere. We just kept it low-key at our house, you know, had a good time.
Yes.
With a couple of friends.
I had a sick son for Christmas, so we stayed home for Christmas. New Year's, though, crazy. Found out my husband was deploying in April when we had planned a Universal trip. So we had to bump it up to New Year's week. Insane. I highly recommend never going to Universal or Disney during the holidays. It is a nightmare. If you get public group anxiety, don't do that. So what are you looking forward to in this new year?
Aside from me potentially getting out of the Air Force early.
Why do all the co-hosts just leave? It's so rude. I don't appreciate it.
I've put in my time.
All right. You're better than Dosis.
Yeah, I've put in my time and, you know, I'm at that point where I need to go to greener pastures. That's pretty much it.
You know, it's not always green on the other side, though.
Oh, it's very green. I can't wait. It's like PGA golf course green.
like the rich green.
Yeah.
But you're excited because you already know what you're gonna do, right? Like you already have a spot saved for you and you have a plan. When I was getting out, I was just like, I am done with the Air Force. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I don't want to be here.
Yeah, like I actually have a solid, like, tangible plan that, you know, is pretty much just waiting on me getting out to execute. And most people, you know, aren't that lucky to know, you know, exactly where they're going to work, exactly what they're going to do when they get out.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, full stop, if I didn't have this plan in place, then I would probably be staying in until the end of my contract in 2025 and, you know, doing whatever I could to set myself up for success on the outside, like
something else,
school or a skill bridge or whatever, or even like, I know this is like a recent change, but now they are offering the opportunity to cross train at the end of your enlistment instead of just getting out. So, you know, taking advantage of something like that if I didn't have, you know, a solid plan.
Yeah. Since this episode is going to be geared towards airmen, I will say this, like if you are at the end of your first enlistment and it just seems like there is no hope, like as an example, I had such a terrible, terrible supervisor who shall not be named, but she gave me no hope that there were better people out there that would actually want to take care of me as an airman. And I was at a terrible location. So I was like, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah,
you drew like every short straw that you could have.
So for me, getting out, even with no plan, was better than the situation that I was in. So I would say for any airmen that are listening, don't do that. It might seem like you're in a rough spot now, like whether it's supervision or your location, but it can get better. You really just have to make the most of every situation that you're in. I was a crusty senior airman ready to move on, and the Air Force was like, no, you're not moving anywhere. So, or they tapped me for 5 deployments and I'm like, okay, I'm over this. I don't want to do it anymore.
It's easy to get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like a bitter
rut. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you build up the saltiness and stuff, and you know, you feel like nothing that you can do will change anything, and it's just going to suck for, you know, all of eternity. But
right.
There's always options, especially as a first-term airman. You have so many benefits as a first-term airman.
100%.
Like base of preference applications, retraining, all that kind of stuff. And it all goes away once you reenlist.
Yep. So, yep, you're not wrong. So if you're an airman listening, hold on. If you're a bitter airman listening, hold on to hope. There are greener pastures out there for everybody. You just have to find your passion and take that route. Mm-hmm. And if that's getting out, then by all means, get out.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
But have a plan.
Yes.
Always have a plan before you do it. Mm-hmm. I think SkillBridge is actually beneficial. It gives people that time to transition. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, you know, you got out and that was it. We didn't have SkillBridge. You could take terminal leave, but
yeah, you had to pretty much have like your LinkedIn set up.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't even a thing.
You had to like be firing out your resume to everybody before you're getting out. You're going, because the best time to look for a job is when you have a job.
Yes.
So you had to do all that stuff kind of like preemptively before you're actually out. So you're not, you know, high and dry.
Yeah. One of my biggest goals for 2024 is to get in better physical shape. And I'm not trying to be like an Instagram model or anything, but I feel like as I inch towards getting older, I really need to take my own health into account. I've been so hyper focused on my kids and my husband. You know, he was in Korea and now he's about to deploy again. Like, I need to seriously focus on myself and stop. That is my 2024 goal. And to also rock out my job here.
I mean, yeah, that's a given, pretty much. Yeah. Doing good at your job.
Yeah. Someday, mark my words, I will be Secretary of the Air Force.
Really?
Yeah. I think I could do good things.
That's where you're setting your sights for, Sec F.
Only if I can do that living in Florida.
Oh, no, you're going to be in D.C. What are you talking about?
So maybe not. I would love, love, love to go to SOCOM someday. I don't know why. I just think that mission is cool and different, and it would give a broader perspective on big Air Force versus wing Air Force PA. So I think SOCOM would be really cool. And they're at MGDL. So.
Yeah, and you love Tampa.
That doesn't hurt. Yeah. Latest news for Tyndall. It's a pretty slow month, right? We're all just getting over the holidays. However, hopefully our new overpass will be done this month. We're very excited about it. It will alleviate a lot of the traffic. Mm-hmm. And we already have the road that connects one side of our base to the other. So that's super beneficial. I don't even go to that other gate anymore. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
But in big news, we are actually having an air show. Mm-hmm. Not here, not at Tyndall. Just to clarify for anybody that's an avid air show attendee, we will be partnering with Panama City Beach to host our air show May 4th and 5th at Panama City Beach.
Yep.
I think the closest landmark would probably be Pier Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of like the tanks, the recruiters, vendors, they will be located right at like a Pier Park parking lot, I think. We fully anticipate a lot of attendees to be there. So if you're interested and you want a hotel room to stay down there to avoid the beach traffic, because that is about peak spring break season and getting out of school season, I would strongly suggest you book your hotels now. Not only will the air show be happening at PCB, at the exact same time, Thunder Beach will be happening. And if you're not from the area, Thunder Beach is a motorcycle rally. We don't think that they're going to collide with one another, because most of the motorcycle events, like the concerts and the gatherings, those happen in the evening hours, and the air show will be in the morning to afternoon.
Yeah.
So
there's like still going to be a lot of extra traffic and
yes,
just people in general.
Brace yourself, PCB people, because we're taking over. Stay tuned, because after the break, we will be back with Senior Airman Adriana Salas talking everything airman.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website at tyndall.af.mil.
Welcome back to Lightning Within 5. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Staff Sergeant Stefan Alvarez.
And we are here today speaking to the one, the only, senior airman now.
Yes, senior
Salas. Airman. Salas. She is one of the all-star airmen for Tyndall Air Force Base, and we had to have her on here so she could speak on behalf of all the airmen and give us updates on what's going on with them. So, welcome. Hi. How have you been?
I've been really good. Thank you so much for having me. Being on a podcast is really cool, so I greatly appreciate you having me here today.
Yes. How was your holidays?
I had a really great Christmas, actually. I spent it with my fiance, and I recently got engaged, too, so we took, like, holiday pictures, so that was really nice, spending it with family. And since I'm about to deploy, it was kind of like, you know, our last holiday spent together, so it was overall a really good time.
Awesome. Are you nervous about the deployment?
I definitely am nervous to go, especially because I've never been out of the country. So it's very nerve-wracking, especially, you know, hearing everyone's stories when they get back. They all have, like, their different, you know, experiences. So I'm just nervous for what kind of experience I'm going to have over there being in a new country, away from everybody. You know, like, we're, like, 8 hours away in time over there. So
I think deployments also open windows for, like, life experiences. Sergeant Alvarez, you've been on deployments. Yep. You know, like, when you deploy, you have a better appreciation for everything we have here in the States. Just like a working bathroom, that's plumbing.
Yep.
It kind of humbles you, I think, right? Like, if you go to, like, a rough deployment, yeah.
Yeah, definitely stuff you think about, you know, I actually didn't need this, you know.
Yeah.
Being back here, you know, it humbles you a little bit for stuff we actually need and don't need over there.
Yes, and it makes you appreciate your family and your loved ones and your friends so much more, especially if they still communicate with you while you're gone, you know, because some friends don't do that.
Yeah, you know, you always got to be the one to reach out sometimes, but
yeah, definitely
grateful for the family you have.
And speaking of you being so busy, one of the things that you've been busy with is promoting. You got BTZ.
Yes, I
did. Congrats, girl. You deserve it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely, I was surprised, even though everyone's like, you know, I don't know why you're so surprised, like, that stripe's yours. But, like, I've always been, like, a very humble person. So, like, you know, I was kind of like, there's a chance that I might not get it. There's a chance, but, you know. It's definitely like a great, great surprise. When I actually went to my BTZ board, I was so nervous, you know, Chief Sharp sitting right in front of me and I'm like, oh my God, you know, you gotta be so professional and they're asking you all these questions and you don't know what they're going to ask you. So you just have to be ready. And also, you know, knowing, the Airman's Creed, making sure I don't mess up on anything. But, you know, as soon as I went in there, I was super confident. I also had my supervisor with me, so that was super helpful to have, like, my support right next to me, too. So I went in there super confident and was just answering all the questions. And they were actually really surprised at the end. You know, they give you feedback to your supervisor, and they're like, she did so good. Like, she prepared for this so well. And they were like, whatever she did, that's what every airman needs to do.
Aww.
And I was like, I was so honored because, you know, I work really hard in everything that I do and I always make sure that I'm prepared. So to be able to get that feedback from, you know, Chief Sharp, he's a command chief. So that was really an honor. And to be able to nail my BTZ board like that. Getting BTZ and my whole squadron, my commander coined me and then gave me my BTZ in front of everyone. So that's a really big honor as well.
Aww.
Yeah. So, but
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's also a big honor, too, because, you know, A1C Larry passed and, you know, he was my best friend. So for me to be able to do that for the both of us, it was really a big honor. And I know that he's super proud of me, too.
Yeah. So to honor Larry, I would love to talk about, like, how much of an awesome person he was. For the listeners that don't know, Airman Larry tragically passed away suddenly during an incident that happened off base. But he was so amazing. He was, like, one of the sweetest, and I say this from a PA's perspective, one of the sweetest security forces people I have ever met. Usually y'all are pretty hard.
Yeah.
But he cared so much about everybody else, and especially the airmen. He wanted to just better all the airmen on base. And you guys did do that a couple of events, right? You worked through Project Casada,
right?
And you did community outreach for the younger generations, trying to teach them everything that comes, like the perks of being in the Air Force.
Right, yeah. So yeah, Airman Larry, we're both security forces, and he's just that person. Like, he'll come up to you'll go to the gate and he's smiling like right off the bat. Like, he'll make you feel super welcome, and he'll make you actually feel like a person. Like, it didn't matter who you were to him. He didn't even have to know your name. He was just going to talk to you no matter what, because that's just who he was. And like, you know, we're checking IDs at the gate. Some people aren't a fan of that, you know, so, yeah. But him, he always had the smile on his face, and he was just always super happy, like, all the time. And I actually, you know, being his best friend for like a year and a half, I was with him every single day. And there was not one day where I seen that man down. Like, he always had a smile on his face, because he knew that he had to be strong for me. Don't know why, but, you know, we've been through some really rough times together, and just being with someone every single day, you really get to know them. And I'm super honored to have got to know him on the level that I did, and get to call him my best friend, because, you know, everyone knows his name, and that's the legacy he wanted to leave behind. And I definitely feel that he did that, not only, you know, on base, but definitely in the community as well. Like, I know that Chick-fil-A even knew who he was, because, you know, he came through with the biggest smile on his face. So definitely left a big mark for his name.
That's so sweet. He was an amazing person. So when you and him worked together, you guys did events like Project Casada. So you would go to high schools, or you would invite people, like our recent military showcase. So we invited all the high school kids to Tyndall Air Force Base, where we had recruiters. We had all the different AFSCs set up to explain what their job entails. It's beneficial for them to hear from you and Larry, being younger generations, like how great the Air Force actually is.
Right, and that was kind of like our goal, because how it all started out was when I first joined the Air Force, it took me 3 years to get in. So it was kind of me just being persistent, looking for that recruiter that was gonna, you know, bring me into the Air Force. So it did take 3 years, you know, and you go to high schools, you always see Navy, Marines, and Army, like it's never really Air Force. So when I got into the Air Force, I was so excited, because this is what I had been waiting for. And since it took me so long, I was like, I want to help other people that struggle to get into the Air Force, because it's a great branch in the military and not a lot of people know about it. And it's not their fault, you know, they just don't have Air Force presence near them. Or sometimes there's schools like in the middle of nowhere, like Airman Larry. And that's where we kind of bonded, and that's where our similarity was because he lived in the middle of nowhere. It's like 2 hours away. There's no Air Force recruiter next to him. He lives like in a farm, so
there ain't nothing.
There's nothing out there, you know. And he was in a farming and like agriculture, so that's all he knew. So when the Air Force recruiter came to see him out there, it changed his life, because now he's in the Air Force. But he was sad because he didn't join until he was like 31, mm-hmm. you know, later on in his life. And we wanted to change that. So like, we came together and was like, we need to go, you know, go to these schools. No one's doing it. Like, we can do it. We have the power to do it. We have the resources.
Yep.
We're in the Air Force now. We can change these kids' lives. So like, let's go to the nearest high school and go talk to some kids. So that's how we started out, like little by little. We would just go to the principal. We're like, we would love to talk to your kids. Like, is there any way you would let us do that? And they're super excited that we were coming out. You know, it was just us. This was what we wanted to do. No one was pushing us to do it. No recruiter was like telling us to do it. It was just the passion that we had for the kids. Mm-hmm. So we would go to like their gym or their auditorium. We would fill it with all the kids. And then me and Larry would bring different jobs from the Air Force to come talk to the kids. Cause you know, every recruiter can tell you, oh yeah, you can go be maintenance or you can go be security forces. But like, what does that actually mean?
Right.
You know, it's easy to tell someone, but if you don't see it firsthand, you can't really, you know, make someone want to go do that. So me and Larry brought the actual jobs, brought the person, you know, to go talk about the job. And I would see the kids get super excited because this stuff they haven't seen before, like the robot dog. I'm security forces. They've never seen a robot dog, you know.
Yeah.
You see it on the news and stuff, but like seeing a person, like that's going to make someone want to go join the Air Force because you're showing them what they could be doing.
Yep.
So eventually we did all those events and it paid off.
Yeah, 100%. I think you guys left a lasting impact with the younger community. Alvarez, did you always want to join the Air Force?
No, I didn't.
What were your goals in high school?
So all the males in my family have served either in federal law enforcement or the military. I'm the only and first Air Force. Everybody else was Army. So
bet they're mad at that.
Yeah, the banter around the holidays is always good, you know. They always, you know, talk their smack and I talk mine back.
Yep.
But yeah, I originally wanted to join the Army as airborne infantry. But got a lot of pushback for...
You got the polar opposite job.
Got a lot of pushback from family, you know, concerned about my well-being and all that stuff.
No kidding.
So, especially around the time I wanted to join, which was about a year after I graduated high school in 2012. So things around like Middle East and Africa around that time frame was a little active.
Yeah.
More so than it is now. Now there's not really a whole lot going on. So yeah, they convinced me to do Air Force because I didn't want to do Navy or anything like that. I didn't want to be, you know,
on stuck, a boat.
Yeah, stuck on a ship, you know. But I had to stake out my recruiter because I went to his office at like every hour imaginable that he had like posted that, you know, they were open,
which they're never open.
That's always how it is. It's always so difficult to get in touch with somebody.
Yes. So I went there. I remember I went in the morning. I went one time at 8, one time at 10. I didn't bother trying to go during lunch because
it
was there during lunch. Then I would show up like one day at 1. I would show up another day around 2. Like never could catch him. So I had to park outside of his office before he... I had to stake him out. I parked outside of his office before they opened and waited for him to roll up in the morning and like unlock it and everything and go in there. And I just like went in right after. I'm like, hey, I want to join the Air Force.
Yeah, and please let me sign the paper, man. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah. But yeah.
So it was worth it for you?
It was.
Yeah.
How'd you end up in PA? Is this something that you chose?
So I was waiting for him to get a EOD slot down to his office so I could go to, enlist in that. But I was in his delayed entry program for like 8-9-ish months.
Oh, wow.
And then he called me one day because another person that he had in delayed entry for PA... had something happened to him. He wasn't in delayed entry anymore. He got the boot. So I was one of the only other people he had like on tap that met all the requirements for it. And I could leave, you know, within weeks.
Right.
So I was like, sure, I'll do it.
Well, now you're in, so.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in.
Yeah. You're not blowing things up, but you're blowing up the radio. What?
Oh my God.
When I joined, I had the same issue. Like, and I'm going to be optimistic and say that she was just so busy. She was never in her office. She was always out recruiting. However, she told me coming in, she's, you know, like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to be a broadcaster. And she was like, oh, my God, then you have to do a voice audition. I did the voice audition and she came back like an hour later. She's like, yeah, no, they said that your voice was too raspy for TV or broadcast. I was like, damn. What? That's so mean. But it changed my life. I always emphasize to people, I was such, I don't know the nice terminology for this. I was a troubled teen. I enjoyed partying too much. And I really sincerely think that the Air Force saved my life in a way because most of the people I was in high school with are now either in jail or not alive.
Or they're just doing the same thing that they were in high school.
Or they're stuck in the same small town, right. You know, making minimum wage, not affecting big scope things. The Air Force can do so much more for you than you think. Like, the Air Force opened career possibilities, it opened education possibilities, travel possibilities. I will always forever be grateful for joining the Air Force. So.
Yeah. I usually tell people, if nothing else, if you don't want to make a career out of it, use it as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Like, use it so they can pay for your college, they can pay for, you know, whatever expensive certifications you want to get.
Yeah.
Like, use it to get to where you want to get.
Or if you need, like, for younger NCOs or airmen, like, if you are 18 and just learning how to live on your own, you have dorms paid for you, or you have on-base housing paid for you. Like, that is a way to jump into life on your own.
Right. Because in the dorms, you save money, you know, you're getting your paycheck, but you're not paying rent. So all that money you get to pocket.
Yep.
And that's what I try to tell a lot of the airmen or a lot of the newer kids in high school, you know, like, you can do this. Like, I was in your shoes 2 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. anything is possible. And I love talking to them too, because I'm closer in age to them. So they get to relate a little bit more. And I always tell them, like, my path, what I want to do. Like, I want to go to nursing school. So I'm going to do the nursing enlisted commissioning program. And they get so excited, like, I can do medical. And I'm like, yeah, you can. Like, you don't need to fly a plane. Like,
yeah.
That's a myth, you know? You can be a pilot, but you definitely don't need to fly a plane. You can do anything you want to do in the Air Force, and it can be paid for. Like, you can go through programs. You want to go through law, you can do a law program. You can do, you know, anything you want to do. Like, take advantage of the opportunities that you have right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So one of the biggest projects that you have contributed to or played a major role in is the Airman's Attic. And to reference back to our conversation with Chief Sharp, the Hurricane Michael destroyed any resemblance of an Airman's Attic that we had. So you and a group of other people felt it necessary to bring that back, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so the Airman's Attic, it's funny because that's the first time I met Chief Sharp was in FTAC. I was going through FTAC and Chief Sharp came to speak and just, you know, talked about what it's like to be here on Tyndall, saying, introducing himself because he just got the command chief position. Mind you, this is my first time being on the military installation. I don't know anything. I don't even know who he is, but he looks important. So
the star made him important.
All the stripes. I'm like, he looks important. Like, I need to get to know him. I need to talk to him. And, you know, I'm a very eager person. I'm very determined. From the beginning, I knew this is what I wanted to do. I want to be good at whatever it is that comes my way. So, you know, I wanted to commission. I still want to commission. I know you got to do something that not everyone does. And I know, like, the position that we are in as a base, we don't have much. We don't have a lot of resources. And I didn't even know what an Airman's Attic was. Mm. I didn't know what it was. Someone said an Airman's Attic. I'm like, what is that? You know, and they're like, oh, there's a head at my last base. You know, you can go get free stuff, you know. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I need to start that here. Like, I want to start that. So, and this all came into my mind as I'm sitting in the FTAC class, you know?
Yeah.
So Chief Sharp, I was like, hey, can I speak to you after? And everyone's looking at me like,
girl, yeah. you're brave for doing that.
And I was like, I'm not nervous. Like, I know what I want. And yeah. I know, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. I just want to speak to him. So yeah, I went, I was like, Chief, you know, is there any way I can start an Airman's Attic? He's like, that's a really good idea. Like, we really do need that. He's like, just email me, you know, and I'll get it started for you. And I was like, okay. You know, and I was like, maybe I may not hear back, you know, we'll see what happens. And all the construction on base, he actually was like, we can't do it at the moment because all the construction, we'll have to see if the facility is available later on down the line. I was like, okay. So 6 months comes by and he's like, hey, I got a facility. He's like, it's yours. You do what you want with it. And I was like, are you serious right now? I was like, it was a random day. I'm just like, you know, going to work. And yeah. He's like, no, this facility is yours. You do what you want with it. Make it an Airman's Attic. And then so he put me in contact with another master sergeant from contracting and another master sergeant from contracting as well. And then us three, we kind of made it into what it is today, you know, put hours and hours into labor because it was just white walls. And yeah. Now when you walk into, there's a mural, there's shelves. So we spent a lot of time, especially we had to put the rush on it because General Brown was also coming.
Right.
So touring him, and I was like, I get to tour him.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a lot going on, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I never thought that I would be in this position, you know?
Yeah.
Looking back at it. So yeah, Airman's Attic opened up finally, toured General Brown, and it looks so amazing. Like, just the layout of everything, and it's also just so rewarding to see airmen come and grab stuff for free.
Yes.
And knowing that 100%. They didn't have that before, and I get to give that to them. I get to give airmen volunteer opportunities because it's a weekly thing. They can, you know, come and volunteer and stuff. So just knowing that I can provide for families and people in need, it's very rewarding.
If you have never gone to the Airman's Attic, what are a couple of things? I know, like, uniforms, if you pack on a couple of pounds after the holidays, like some of us do, go there, get you a bigger pant, you know, or shirt, because it is all free. And you guys don't keep tally on, like, who's taking what. It's just there for people who need it, right?
Right. So Airman's Attic essentially is just a place you can go. We have, you know, blues, OCP tops, pants. We have stuff for families. Like, if you have a newborn baby, you need a crib or something, you know, we have baby clothes. We have kitchen items. You know, if you need to air, people bring expensive stuff. They just drop it off. I'm like, you're going to leave this air fryer here? And, you know, I'm going to take it. No, I'm just kidding. But they definitely bring a lot of expensive stuff in, and we have a lot of kitchen items, you know, home essentials, and the uniforms, I would say, is the most important thing, just because, you know, being in the military, uniforms are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting them every paycheck, that's a lot of money. So we are open to E1 through E6 airmen, enlisted, guard, reserve, and your dependents as well. So if you fall anywhere in that category, you can just come down to the Airman's Attic. You can grab anything you want for free. It's all free. And we don't keep tabs on anything. It's just free. We limit the amount of items just because we don't want everyone coming taking everything. But
yeah,
it's definitely free. It's a good resource, especially if you're a new airman moving into the dorms and you need something for your dorm room, you know, go down to the Airman's Attic, see if we have it. Or even if you're moving out the dorms, you know, you want to drop something off there because you don't need it anymore. Yeah, definitely bring it down to the Airman's Attic. We are open for donations as well. So yeah, anything that you need, I promise you, we'll probably have it there.
Yeah. And where is it located now?
It's currently located in the TLFs over by housing. It's going to be a temporary facility, but who knows when we'll even get a new one right now because all the construction going on. So.
Right. Okay. So you are the head honcho for the Rising Four. Explain to the listeners what that is.
So my position right now on the council, I'm the president of Rising Four. So I basically just oversee everything, make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Overall, like, the goal of the Airmen's Council is to be a good resource for the airmen on base. And this is, this points to, like, particularly the airmen in the dorms too, because, you know, you're in the dorms and there's not much to do around here because, you know, the construction, like, we're going to get a bowling alley and all these things, or we just have the beach. So I think that it's important to build camaraderie with each other. So we try to put on events for the airmen in the dorms and for families on base. So, you know, just bringing people together. We try to do fundraisers, raise money to do stuff, put on events for them. Right now, we kind of spent most of our time kind of building up the council. So hopefully the new council can do some good stuff with the money that we raised.
How often does the Rising Four meet?
We do general meetings once a month, but we'll probably do like our council meetings like a couple of days before that, just so we can have everything prepared for our meeting.
What would you say to an airman that's kind of on the fence about being in the Airman's Council?
I would always tell them that you don't have to be like this well-known airman to make a difference on base, because I came and I started as nothing. I didn't know anyone. So I'm telling them, like, anything is possible, you know, as long as you put yourself out there, you know, and you just give yourself the opportunity to make those connections with people and definitely take advantage of the resources and the people around you, because, you know, like, we have five, six mentors and we have top three mentors. So I always like make sure you get the information out of them because they're here to help you.
Absolutely.
So just use the people around you, I'd say.
That's great. That's great that you guys are like connected to 5-6 and top three, because there's so much knowledge that you can gain from them and their experiences. And especially as you continue to try to become NCOs.
Right. When I'm trying to promote, like, there's a staff sergeant I can go to now because there are my 5-6 mentors. So you always build those connections with people, even when you're not even in the council. So
love that.
So you're obviously very involved with things going on around the base. And I'm sure one thing on airmen who may be listening's mind is how you balance all of the kind of like extracurricular with your normal day-to-day job. So what's that like?
I would say that balancing is very important. I did not do that because I was so busy with everything that I was doing. But I knew I was strong enough to handle it. So now that I've kind of accomplished everything that I've wanted to accomplish here on Tyndall, now I'm kind of taking the time for myself right now and kind of passing the torch down to someone else. But I definitely say that it depends on your job too, how you can balance that, because I'm security forces, so I have to wake up like at 3 a.m. to get to work, and I get off at 6 p.m. So it's a long shift. And then after that, I'm already like, okay, what am I going to go do like for the Airman's Attic? Like, I'm already thinking about what I have to do next. So I don't really have the time to take time for myself. So, but that was just the sacrifice I was willing to make, you know, and not a lot of airmen are willing to do that. And I would say it's very important. If you want to get where you are, you need to sacrifice your time, because people, you know, I like my free time, but what are you willing to give up? You know? So I would say that's very important, the sacrifice, but definitely take time for yourself. Even if it's just like a day off, just don't do anything. Cause I would find myself here on base on my days off and everyone's like, what are you doing here? And just, I don't know what it is. I'm so used to being on the move that when I'm sitting in my room, I'm just like, I could be doing something right now. And then I end up here. And then they're like, no, I don't want to see you here. And they kind of ban me. They're like, I don't want to see you here. And I'm just like, okay. So I got forced into taking time for myself. But, you know, just definitely take time for yourself. And I would say love what you do. Don't do it for the wrong reasons either, because then it's not going to be what you want it to be. So
you definitely have the work hard, play hard mentality. But again, emphasis on you always need to stop and focus on yourself once in a while.
Definitely.
Yeah. And now you're about to deploy, so you'll have plenty of time to do that.
I have so much time, free time to think, but I'm also going to be on the go, you know, staff's coming up, test for staff.
Ooh.
I'm also trying to commission, so getting my package ready. So
okay.
I will be relaxing, but not really.
Yeah. Doing great things. But the sooner you accomplish all those goals, the sooner you can like sit back and appreciate all your hard work, you know?
Right.
What are some things that you know now that you wish you knew, like when you first came in into the Air Force or first got here as a new airman living in the dorms? Like basically like life hacks, pro tips, whatever, you know?
Honestly, I can't really say that I regret anything or, you know, don't know anything, because when I first came to Tyndall, I was like, I'm going to hit the ground running. So that way in a couple months from now, I don't sit back and like, look, oh, I wish I knew this, you know? So I feel like I kind of built a foundation in the beginning to where I didn't need to think that way now. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've always been prepared. I've put myself in that position. Like, again, it just takes hard work and dedication to put yourself in that position.
I can appreciate that. I was a dirtbag airman, so I I was a dirtbag. I was an airman basic when I got to DIAS. And then about like my A1C years, I was like, okay, enough's enough. I gotta actually try. And then I also got BTZ, and I shocked myself. I shocked my supervisor. She was like, oh my God, you actually did it. It's amazing.
See, anything's possible.
You know? Yeah. As long as you like pinpoint your goals and you work hard to get there. Yeah.
You recognize them early on. Like I knew I wanted a commission. I was like, okay, I don't want to waste months. And when I could be taking a class, you know, I want to take the class now, be ready. Because I can commission my like third year, you know, enlisted. So it's kind of starting yourself for success early on in your career is very important. I would tell a lot of people that it's very important to do that early on.
Love that. I think you would make a fantastic officer.
Thank you. Or chief. We never
or
know.
Chief. Yeah. Yes. Either or, you'll be great. All right. Well, Senior Airman Solace, thank you so, so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We hope the airmen appreciate that you're here and all the things that you've done for them. And we wish you nothing but luck and good times on your deployment.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Hopefully I can be back soon.
Yes, we hope you come back and stay here for at least a little bit.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be back. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to Lightning Within 5. Let us know your thoughts, your comments, your opinions, anything, what you would like to hear on it. If just write us or comment us. We appreciate you all for listening and have a great Team Tyndall day.